1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 25. And I'll be reading just a few verses. I have the New American Standard Version. You may have a little bit different version, but I'm sure you can follow along. Hear God's Word. 1 Kings 12, beginning with verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places, and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made. And he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. May God be pleased to bless to us not only the reading and the hearing, but also by his grace, the proclamation of his word. Worship wars are common among us, believe it or not, even in our own denomination. And there are desires, for example, to follow contemporary worship. This is one of the emphases in the contemporary evangelical culture, and you don't have to go very far to see this. And then, of course, there are questions like, or statements, I should say, like, "I can worship God on the golf course." Or, "Why not have worship on Thursday rather than on the first day of the week?" That would be perfectly acceptable, would it not? Interestingly enough, our text speaks to these very issues. And if you have the outline before you that is in your bulletin, I have this simple statement at the head of the outline. Worship God at the appointed places, with your appointed leaders, at the appointed times, come together to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. This, in the end, it seems to me, is where our text leads us. And it does so quite simply. The situation in which we find ourselves in this text, in 1 Kings chapter 12, is after the division of the kingdom. Rehoboam is king in Judah. Jeroboam is king in Israel, the northern kingdom. And as we just read, he is fearful that the people will return to Rehoboam. And so what does he do? He conjures up in his own mind and heart certain ideas that have to do with worship. Let's look again at the text and set the context. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. if the people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, that is, to Rehoboam, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you from the land of Egypt." Here, in the context of Rehoboam devising so that the people would not stray from him and go back to the king of Judah, Jeroboam constructs, builds, what have you, these two golden calves. And note what he says about them. "Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." We are not to serve other gods. We are to come, you are to come to the true and living God alone and serve Him. And the words of Jeroboam are astounding. It's as if, and we might recall this sort of thing ourselves, it's as if someone would say in the bosom of the church, "Let's come together and worship the goddess Sophia. She is our Savior. She is the one who delivers us from sin." And it's an abomination. When I was in college, I entered my room one evening, and there were a group of my classmates sitting on the floor in a circle, burning incense in the lap of a small Buddha. And they were praying, because they were a little frightened about the upcoming examinations. And they were praying that Buddha would save them from an ugly fate. "Behold your gods, O Israel. Come and worship the only true God through Jesus Christ. This is what we must do." And our text also indicates to us that you must come to the true God at the God-appointed places of worship and not replacements. Look at the text again. "So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, 'Is it too much for you to go up to Jerusalem? Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt.' He set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan." Not only did Jeroboam set before his people alternate gods, but he set before the people alternate places of worship. And the God-appointed place of worship at that time was to be Jerusalem. And the formal worship of the people of God involved the sacrifices in the temple at Jerusalem. And God promised that He would dwell in that particular place. And of course, in our day, the place where God has promised to dwell is in the midst of the assembly of His people as we gather in formal worship to come before Him. The Church of Jesus Christ is the new temple. And God is pleased to gather His people in that place, quote unquote, where we may worship and adore Him. We are not to have alternate places of worship. Oh yes, we can worship in our families at home. We can do that, and that's important. And we can have private worship. But we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. And we must not allow the golf course to become the alternate place of worship, or the television set to become the alternate place of worship, as some are wont to do. We must come as the people of God, assembled to give worship and praise to Him as His people. And that's the place for us. And interestingly enough, Jeroboam was not content to stop at offering alternate gods and alternate places of worship. Look again at the text. So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin for the people, because they went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on the high places, and made priests from among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Alternate gods, alternate places of worship, and an alternate priesthood, alternate leadership. That is where Jeroboam was going. And the Levites, they were the ones who had been appointed by God to lead the people in the worship of God. Isn't this interesting? Well, I say that a lot in preaching, and sometimes there are blank expressions that I'm met with. But I think it really is quite interesting. In the New Testament era, there are friends in Christ, God-appointed leaders in the church whom God sets in place to lead us in our worship. And this is not a small thing. It was so important to God in the Old Testament economy that when an individual, do you remember his name, Uzzah, who when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back to Jerusalem, and it was on a cart, and he put out his hand to steady that ark so it wouldn't fall off that cart, and he was struck dead by God. And we wonder, is there justice in that? Well, there is indeed, because he was not one of the God-appointed leaders whom God set forth as those who would carry that Ark of the Covenant. God is serious about this matter also. And it's not just a formality in which we as God's people may enter. That would be a false view of it. Your leaders in this congregation, appointed by God through a work of the Holy Spirit, will guide you into the very presence of God Himself as they lead you in worship. And what a privilege it is.
What else? Look again at our text. So the king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." Alternate gods. He set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin for the people. Went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Alternate places of worship. And he made houses on the high places and made priests from among all the people who were not the sons of Levi. Alternate leaders. Jeroboam, verse 32, instituted a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made. And he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar. And he made in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel. And he went up to the altar to burn incense. The alternate gods. The alternate places of worship. The alternate leadership. And the alternate times of worship. The eighth month and the 15th day. It was never the eighth month and the 15th day of the month, which was a feast that had been ordained by God. It was never that time. It was the first month, first of all. And the 14th day of the month, which was the Passover in that first month. And then on the 15th day for 7 days, yes, the 15th day there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But it was the first month. And it was the seventh month. And the first day of the month, which was the Day of Atonement. And it was the seventh month and the 15th day of the month, which was the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. Here was an alternate time of worship. And when you review the times of worship that are set forth by God in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, you find out that the very first feast, the very first convocation that God is insistent upon is the Sabbath day. The day of rest. The day when the people should come together. And we are so easily swayed from this principle of the Sabbath day and the day of rest. And we are so easily swayed as to institute for ourselves and devise in our own thinking, unfortunately, other days and times and feasts. I remember several years ago when Irma and I were at a special service in western Kansas, and it was a Christmas Eve service. And a lady in front of us turned around and thanked us for being there. And she said, "I've never missed one of these services, and I don't recall the number of years." And our thought was, that may be true, but how often we set aside the Sabbath worship of God, the appointed time. God has a plan in all of this, friends. A significant plan. And it's not just externals that we're talking about here. And if we think it's just externals that we're talking about here, it seems to me that we really miss the point. I'd like you to turn back. You can keep your finger there in 1 Kings, but turn back to Exodus in chapter 29. I gave you the wrong reference in the outline that you have in your bulletin. It's Exodus 29 that I'd like us to look at. Exodus 29. And it's verse 42 that I'm interested in. But let's just read the context here for a moment. Exodus 29, verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 one-year-old lambs each day continuously. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And there shall be 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin beaten oil and 1/4 of a hin of wine for drink offering with one lamb. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it the same grain offering and the same drink offering as in the morning, for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Morning and evening sacrifices. And on the Sabbath day the sacrifices were doubled, indicating the importance of the Sabbath day. And the rationale for evening and morning worship comes from these morning and evening sacrifices. Now note, if you would please, verse 42, and God's intention. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. What does God say? There, I will meet with you. There, I will speak to you. Is it not the longing of the heart of the one who loves Jesus Christ to know His Word, to hear His voice, and to know His plan and purpose for life? Surely it is. And the plan and the purpose, friends, is simple. Quite simple. To come to the one true God in the place He appoints, under the leadership He has established, to worship God. And His promise is to meet with us. That's His promise. And to speak to us. That's His promise. And God is not slack concerning His promises. This is what He says He will do. And so, as we are gathered together, this is His plan in our worship. And when you come, you can come to worship our God through Jesus Christ, to the appointed place, that is the assembly of God's people, at the appointed times. Thank you, Lord, under the appointed leadership, to meet with Him and to hear His voice. You know what Jesus says? My sheep hear My voice, and they follow me. And when your leaders bring to you the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is dwelling in your midst, through that Word, applied by the Holy Spirit, you may hear the voice of Jesus and follow Him. This I say to you, dear friends, in Christ, is God's plan for our worship, coming to Him at the appointed place, at the appointed times, under the appointed leadership. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Good and gracious you are altogether. We are humbled greatly, contemplating you, the Holy God, being in our midst to speak to us. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege. And God, we pray that as we come week by week, we would come with this great anticipation, knowing that you will indeed in our midst fulfill your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.